Christmas is this anxiety, this anticipation of what you find under the tree and that kind of thing. And that's part of what happened at the first Christmas. There were people that were expectantly waiting, were anticipating, were hoping, looking for something. And so I want to talk briefly about two people in the Christmas story that actually are rarely mentioned or talked about. They're not in the nativity scene at all, but they're in the text. They're part of the drama that unfolded with Jesus' birth, and that's Simeon and Anna. And so turn to, actually, I have in your outline, don't I, the text. Did I put the text in your outline? I did, didn't I? It's in Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read through those texts and just unfold a couple things about this whole idea. In the text, there's a Greek word used for the idea of anticipation. It literally means to be alert to his appearance and ready to welcome him. One of the things my wife did that I really appreciate when our kids were little was she tried to help them be that way when Dad came home. Often when I came walking in the door, they would run up to me and greet me. And then, of course, they'd want to play with me. And I was sometimes tired from work, so I came up with this marvelous game called Doctor. I would go lay down on the living room floor, and they would operate on me. It was an awesome game. I relaxed and just laid there, and they would, you know, poke me and climb over me and do whatever. But when I came home, often they were anticipating me coming home. They were looking forward to me coming home. And that's the concept here with Simeon and Anna. They're looking in anticipation for the Messiah to arrive. So I want to look at those two people a little bit and just unfold a couple principles this morning for Christmas. Luke chapter 2, it's right there in your outline. It'll be up on the screen as well. Luke chapter 2, I'll just read and you can follow along. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel." Now, at that time, Israel was not necessarily in a very good space as a nation. Things weren't really going that well. They hadn't heard from God for many years, and they were under Roman rule. They lost their political independence, and they were living in fear. The person ruling their region was King Herod, and he was a bad man and a cruel man. And so many Jews were living in fear and wondering, is the Messiah ever going to come? Now in the text, it mentions the word, it says the translation of the Greek word, consolation. It says Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The word means to bring encouragement. The word means to bring blessing. It means to bring comfort to a person or to a group of people. And so Simeon was waiting for the Messiah to come. And one of the terms, one of the titles that was often used for the Messiah was the Comforter. And so they were waiting for the Messiah to finally come and not just rescue them, but bring them blessing and bring them encouragement and bring them comfort. And Simeon was waiting for that as well. A lot of people in the world have a hard time at Christmas. I hope none of us in this room do, but there are a lot of people who do. Suicide rate goes up at Christmas. Depression goes up at Christmas. There's a lot of loneliness out there. There's a lot of hopelessness out there. And Christmas maybe for people in that space in life, Christmas is kind of a punch in the stomach. It's a reminder of what they're missing, what they wish they had, they don't have. And they need comfort. They need the Messiah to come and give them encouragement during that tough time. Verse 26 in the text that I read, talking about Simeon, has a very clear explanation of why he had this level of hope and anticipation. It says, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So the Holy Spirit prompted Simeon to get out of his chair and go walk into the courtyard of the temple at the exact same time that Joseph and Mary come walking into the courtyard with their baby. And he makes eye contact and he walks up to them. And he immediately recognizes that this six-week-old infant is the Messiah, the Anointed One. He's the Emmanuel, which means God's with us. The Bible talks about God being with us. And when God is with us and we experience his presence, then we can find strength and we can find comfort. And he provides encouragement and provides direction in life. And that's what the Jews were hoping for and needing and wanting. And Simeon immediately recognized that this was the answer. This little six-week-old baby was the Messiah, the salvation. Now, can you imagine the setting? They're in the courtyard. They're coming in to do the duty of any good Jew, to commit their child to God Almighty. And Simeon walks up, and the first thing he does is reach out his arms and take the baby from mom. Now, it probably didn't look very dangerous, but it would be a little bit unsettling to all of a sudden have this man come up and do this. And then he takes the baby, and then he starts praising God about this baby and saying things that, can you imagine his parent going, wow, he's saying some amazing things about my baby. And so Simeon does that, and he's looking for, and God answers his prayer and desire. So he's looking for the Messiah as a comforter, Messiah as someone who brings encouragement and blessing to him and to the people of Israel. The other person that was anticipating and waiting and looking for something was Anna. You see that in the text that I provided for you. Let's just look at that for a minute. Luke chapter 2, 36 and following. There was also a prophet, Anna. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them, meaning to Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus, coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Simeon had this desire and this expectation, this anticipation of Messiah coming to bring comfort and strength and encouragement. Anna was looking a little bit more towards this idea of redemption, forgiveness, a restoration of relationship with the living God of the universe. The word redemption goes back to the idea of captivity. The Jews celebrated every year the rescuing from Egypt of captivity, of slavery, that God Almighty did for their forefathers. And that redemption is what Anna was looking for, that God would do that once again, not just politically, but in a more profound way. Many of the Jews didn't understand that, but the Passover actually looks for the day when not just political, in fact, not really political, but spiritual redemption. The payment for all sin. The restoration of connectedness and relationship with the living God of the universe. John the Baptist said it this way in John chapter 1. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So, I want to talk a little bit about, in your outline there, about action steps. Action steps that you can take and we can take away to consider this morning. First one is this: become a marveler this Christmas. A marveler. The text says that when Mary and Joseph heard what Simeon said, they marveled at it. Now, you who are English police, There's no such word as marveler. It's made up. It's made up because it fits the point really well. To be a marveler. To marvel would be appropriate English. But to be a marveler, can you hardly say it this Christmas, of Jesus and all that that means. The dictionary says this. To marvel is to be filled with wonder, astonishment, and surprise. It's that aha moment. It's that amazement moment. It's that eyes get real big moment. It's that I can't believe it moment. Now, I've celebrated Christmas ever since I was an infant. My folks were believers. We celebrated Christmas every year. We celebrated Christ every year. We celebrated the true meaning of Christmas every year. What happens when you do something over and over and over again? It becomes kind of routine. It becomes kind of just one more thing you do. You don't mean for it to become that, but it does. Let me encourage you this Christmas to step back from that tendency. Not just, oh yeah, the Advent candle, we do that almost every year. Oh yeah, the Christmas story, I've heard that 100 times. Oh yeah. But to marvel in astonishment and amazement and wonder at what God did and what God is continuing to do. That's the idea behind it. And they definitely were that. Second of all, what you see is become a mover this Christmas. A mover. Some people say a mover and a shaker. It says in the text about Simeon, moved by the Holy Spirit. You ever been moved by the Holy Spirit? You ever been tuned in enough to the Holy Spirit that you actually can sense Him directing you and guiding you? Simeon was that way. Moved by the Holy Spirit. Aware of the Holy Spirit's presence and listening to and being led by. Anna talks about Anna coming up to them immediately. So what I'm suggesting is they were both movers. They were action takers. They responded to the leading of God Almighty in their lives. It is easy for us as human beings to kind of put Christmas and put God and put Jesus in a spot, in a place in our life. For some of us, we do that. It's a Sunday thing, you know, okay? Sunday, and then we move on with our life. For others, it may be something else, but to put them in a spot or a place in our life, compartmentalize, versus day in and day out being aware of His presence and being tuned into His presence. You think of the Christmas story, and there's so many people that were movers in that Christmas story, led by the Holy Spirit. When Mary was confronted with the truth of what God wanted to do, and the angel revealed to her, her response is, may it be to me as you have said. I'm willing to have that happen. I hear you, and I'm shocked and amazed, but if it's your will, I'm willing to have that happen. I will do, in essence, whatever you want me to do. Joseph, same thing. You know the story of Joseph, right? And how he struggled with what to do, and the angel appeared to him and said, go ahead and take her as your wife. So it says in the text of Matthew 1, Joseph did what the angel Lord commanded and took Mary home as his wife. That's a mover. How about the shepherds? After the angels appeared in the field with them and revealed to them what was happening, they said, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened. Then the wise men, of course, saw the star in the east, and they told their wives, we're out of here. They packed up their cars and went 800 miles because they were action takers. They responded to God in their life. That's what Christmas says, respond to God in life. So be a mover, if you will. Some of you, that mover might be for the first time at Christmas. It might be salvation. It might be a need to respond to the Holy Spirit and say, I need to accept Christ as my Savior. For others of you, it might be that you need to move and respond to God's working in your life, that you recognize there's an area of your life that you need to give over to the Lord. You're still running your life in that area, still in charge in that area, and you're not listening to God in that area and changing that in your life. For others of you, the moving idea might be that you just need to step out of your boat a little bit, step out into an arena of ministry or service or whatever it might be. Maybe a little uncomfortable, but you know God is prompting you to do. So whatever it might be a mover this Christmas, because it's certainly part of the story. I was amazed at what Simeon said in the text. He said, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. And there's the negative and the positive, the downside and the upside. See, the truth is, the Christmas event, the person Jesus, causes a division. There's two camps. There's a camp of people that are responding to Jesus and moving towards Jesus, and there's a camp of people who are moving away. The truth is, God teaches us that you can't be neutral about his son. If you pretend to be neutral, you're moving away. To move towards him is to respond to his presence in your life. And that is to be a mover that Christmas tells us about. The third one is become a messenger this Christmas. A messenger. It says in the text that Anna said she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child. So she walked around talking about Jesus. The Christmas event is a communication event from God to the human race. God is telling the human race at Christmas, I care deeply about every one of you. I love each person on the planet. God is telling the human race, we have a problem. You have sin in your life. I have the solution. It's my son, Jesus Christ. That's the message, the communication that is going on at the Christmas time. And we're challenged to communicate the same truth. To be communicators, to be messengers of that truth. Now, let me tell you a story. I don't know if this is true, but it fits really well, so I'm going to tell it to you, all right? I like the point it's trying to make. There was a father and son, and some of you have heard this story before. There was a father and son who were very wealthy and had an estate, and they collected art. Picasso, Van Gogh, other very expensive art. And over the years, they had a really good collection. And they accumulated a lot of really nice paint pieces. Then their country broke out in war. So the son went to war. After he was in the army for a little while and in battle, the father got a note, a very sad note, that your son has died in action. It devastated him. He became very depressed. Unfortunately, it also happened in November, right before Christmas. And so the Christmas season for him was just devastating. But on that Christmas morning, he got a knock at the door, and he opened the door, and there's a soldier standing there. And he told him, he introduced himself and said, I was with your son in battle. May I come in? And, of course, he invited him in, and they started to talk. And as the soldier was getting ready to leave, he said, I just want you to know that your son rescued me and saved my life. And to honor him, I'm an artist. I painted a picture of him. And he gave the picture to the father. And you can imagine, the father was overwhelmed by this picture. A very well done painting of his son. And so he took down one of the Picassos over the fireplace and put that picture up there in its place. And over the years, he would spend Christmas sitting in that gallery of paintings, but with his son's portrait over the fireplace, and just stare at it for hours. He'd do that off and on whenever he got down, whenever he just felt the need, he would do that. Well, several years later, he passed away. In his will, of course, he got all this great collection of art. In his will, he required that all the art be sold off at Christmas time in an auction. And so the auction came, and of course, art collectors from around the world came to this town and place to bid on these great paintings. And the auctioneer started off the bidding by showing the picture of the painting of his son, the father's son, and said, who will give me $100 for this? And of course, no one was there for that painting. I mean, that was just a painting of his son. And so no one bid at all. Finally, after a little while, one of the persons there kind of yelled out, well, you know, no one wants this painting. Let's get to the Picassos and the Van Goghs and all those paintings. And he said, no, the requirement of the will is I must first sell this painting, auction it off. So finally, one of the gentlemen there was a neighbor, and he just came to just be there. He was not an art collector, and he didn't have much money. So he finally said, well, I'll give you $100 for it. I have $100. I knew the boy. I knew the father. I'd love to have that painting. And so, going once, going twice, sold. Then the auctioneer said, now the auction is now closed. Everybody said, whoa, wait a minute. We come from all over the world. What about all these other paintings? He said, in the Father's will, he said, whoever buys the painting of my son gets them all. Can you imagine that? I don't know if that story is true. You get the point. Whoever takes my son gets everything I have. That's the Christmas story, right? Isn't that the Christmas story? That's God saying to the human race, I love you. I care deeply about you. If you take my son, I will give you everything I have. Ephesians says that we have all the spiritual blessings in heaven that are ours who are in Jesus Christ, who have taken the son. A lot of you know this verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him and his son has everlasting life, has everything that God has to offer for now and for eternity. I know most of you know this. I just want to encourage you not to forget it. I want to encourage you to marvel, be astonished and amazed in awe of this simple, profound truth that the God of heaven has provided his son for you and me, for every person. And the Christmas story is exactly that. That Jesus came, lived in a human body, was crucified and rose again. That's the Christmas story. And all of us, here's my question for you. Are you moving towards Jesus or away from Jesus? And if you say, I'm not moving, then you're moving away. Are you moving towards him? Is he your Lord and Savior? Is he the one at Christmas that you remind yourself and marvel at and praise God for him? Oh, come, let us what? Adore him. Oh, come, let us worship him. Oh, come, let us praise him. My desire for you and for me is when we walk out of this room and we go to Christmas this week and all the gift exchange and just being together with loved ones and enjoying Christmas, which I hope everybody in this room enjoys Christmas. My desire is that we will truly adore him. That we'll no longer be on the fence, and we'll no longer just kind of be neutral, that we'll no longer table him, that we'll no longer say, well, yeah, the Christmas, that's nice. But we'll really recognize Jesus for all that he is. Whoever takes my son gets it all. Amen. Let's have a prayer. Father, thank you for this truth. My heart is burdened for those who might be among us. We're not moving towards you. My heart is burdened for those among us who maybe relegate Christmas to just a nice party and a fun time, but don't allow themselves to marvel and move towards Jesus and don't hear the message and receive the message of Christmas. I pray for every one of us in this room. Most of us in this room are your kids. Help us not to become numb to Christmas. Help us not to get so preoccupied with everything else that we forget what it's really all about. Help us to come and adore you and to worship you and to be in awe of you and to marvel at the Christmas event, the Christmas story, and all that it means. We are so humbly grateful for Christmas, for Jesus, for your son. We just thank you in Jesus' name.